Hey, this is Tony.
This is David.
We're the Backseat Producers, and we are derelict, so it's GuitarCast time. You have improved considerably since our last GuitarCast. I have digressed.
I won't tell you that I haven't, but I have.
Yeah, you have.
The problem is that now I know how bad I actually am. Like, I can recognize my faults, which is much worse. that's just...
Yeah, but knowing when you're wrong and then learning how you're wrong, you can start working toward improvement. I just know I suck. I haven't figured out why yet. I just know that I do. But I also haven't practiced, so that's my biggest setback right now, is lack of practicing.
So one of the things we've been doing in our practice is we have just stopped. Like, last time we didn't play any of the songs we knew. All we did was play new songs.
Mm.
And the reason we did that was because, like, we all learned it together.
That's kind of cool.
And then we just started playing it. Which has helped immensely. Because,
as opposed to how we were doing it before, we were all learning it on our own and then trying to make it work.
Yeah, but none of us were actually learning. Yeah. Like, I think Luke put in the most effort towards it. And, like,
yeah.
So now we show up, we learn a little bit of it, and then we just... mostly riff. It's been actually more satisfying.
So you said you learned some stuff trying to help Paul learn?
So the only things I learned from that were, like... So, like, the chord progressions I play, so I mostly play this rhythm, so it's all repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have him match what I'm playing.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. That's pretty much all. So, because we were learning all of it together... It's before we play it. Hey, what are you playing? Oh, I'm playing, I don't know, A minor, then G, then D, and then back to A minor. Okay. So then he just plays that on the bass and then, I don't know, embellishes it from there.
Hmm.
So.
Well.
That has helped us immensely.
I'm going to try my new guitar course, my online guitar course, and see how that helps.
The double slap.
Yeah, I saw that. That's an intermediate double slap techniques. Got like 40 videos to get through in the basic, in the beginner level.
That's a lot of bass. It's all about that bass.
It is all about that bass. No treble. My brother sent me a picture that shows the walkers on Hoth.
Mm-hmm.
All about that bass, no rebels.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did you see that sick Balin joke I made last time?
That was good.
Tell
that
me,
was
I want to be
really
on this
good. I saw
forever.
That. I saw that. I saw the first picture. I was like, that guy looks familiar. And then
yeah, he does look familiar.
Just kept going. I was like, oh, that's really good.
So, because...
And then James had to go and cockblock him with his shooting next door.
Jerk. So, for the people who...
What, is he trying to be Ferguson up there?
I have no idea what's happening. Like, so, there's this local newscast, and they're doing a story about this dude who's, like, a judge in one municipality, and a lawyer, like, a prosecutor in another, and then a defendant in a third municipality. But the dude looks just like one of the dwarves from the...
He really does.
But, like, without the beard.
Jesus. It really does.
Tony, when I saw it, I was like, Melina, where are you?
We need to try and get that. If I remember, I'll pull that,
she
that
posted
image
it
off of. It's,
yeah.
Well, it's on the Hangout, so I can just pull it off the Hangout.
She posted the video to my Facebook wall.
Oh, really? I have to look for that. Well, we can play the video. We did that a couple episodes ago. those two videos, the little girls with the F-bombs and the accidental racist insurance. Did you ever watch that video?
I didn't watch the video.
The video's pretty good.
I avoid the internet now, Tony. Like the plague.
Man, you can't say that. That's not part of your policy. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Racism.
So Billy Sheehan told me that all I need to do was...
Oh, yeah. All you gotta do is this.
You know what? That actually sounded pretty good.
Maybe he's right.
He's kind of right, because that is kind of what it sounded like.
Maybe he knows what he's talking about.
I'm halfway to addicted to that rush. Oh, look at me. But he was adding in. I got that.
Was he using two hands like that?
He started with just one, but he started doing this technique where he was alternating with his other hand. He's like, yeah, you do this and you're halfway there. That's an advanced technique. I'm probably about 3 months out from that. Maybe 10. I do have those lessons for a year, so. All right, so I guess we could at some point talk about...
In a world. I'm going to be honest with you. That's going to be the highlight of my...
Yeah.
Of my review about this movie.
Yep. Like, I'm with you.
The movie wasn't... Like, bad.
The premise, the setup was interesting.
But
it was like this setup that had this really, it almost had like a episodic TV show payoff to it. Like,
yeah,
there, like it felt like I was watching a sitcom, like a really long sitcom.
And I have a real problem with Rob Corddry. Not being Rob Corddry, like,
yeah,
like, I think he's really funny when he's being Rob,
but he wasn't.
But he wasn't.
He wasn't.
Like awkward.
Yeah. So next week, I think we're gonna do maybe Gone Girl. We'll see. Maybe. What are you doing? Go back to doing Star Wars. You were good at that. Okay, that's enough. We'll get in trouble if you do too much more.
That's true.
Fucking Game of Thrones.
Those notes are.
I don't think my fingers can stretch that far anymore.
We went to see a hypnotist. Just no, it's like one of the Six Flags.
At the Six Flags thing.
Yeah. So like,
yeah, I saw that because we went there like the week before you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh crap! I got your kid's presents in the car.
Oh cool.
So we went to go see him, and like, so he opens the thing where like he has you put your hands together real hard and like flip them around and whatever, and then like pull your fingers apart, and then he's like, look, like magic, they're attracted to each other. No, your hands are tired.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I bet you can't make them not touch. Not with these iron muscles in my hands from the guitar.
I'm kidding.
Jerk. I'll play your game. Do this all day.
Yeah.
This is comfortable.
We were looking for stuff to do as like alternatives, because like we showed up shortly after they opened and we were going to stay basically as late as Erin could take it without getting completely terrified. She likes being scary, but she doesn't like being scared.
Yeah.
So, it was, we learned early on that you can get a Nobu light.
Oh, can you? I wondered what they did, because there were a lot of little kids running around.
Yeah, so you can get a little light that you wear, and it flashes, and it just says Nobu, and like at 6 or 7 o'clock when the monsters come out, mm-hmm. like we saw them come out, and she was getting a little freaked out. We're like, look, you've got the Nobu light; they're not going to touch you. Everything's going to be cool. So we walked through, and we were walking through like the Cajun section. And there was this group of monsters that just walked past us, and one of them was this big dude, and he looked really creepy. And he turned like he was going to come after me and Holden, and he turned and he looked right down at Erin, and just turned his head and walked away. It was like, nope. And it's like, look, Aaron, he's scared of you. And so she was a little cool after that. It didn't stay real long. Yeah. But we ended up, we were going to do the hypnotist show. We were looking for things to do that weren't scary. But man, that first hypnotist show lined up, like, we walked past it like 15 minutes before they opened, and like, you couldn't walk through that little plaza. There were so many bodies crammed in trying to get in to see the show.
I don't know why that thing was always packed. It's not. Yeah.
So,
like, I'm sure it's fine for kids, but like, it's, and I don't know why Melina keeps going back.
We didn't go to that. But we ended up going to the Love at First Fright, Love at First Bite stage show at the Palace Theater, the big theater, like right at the,
oh,
main,
yeah,
entrance,
the middle
one. Mm-hmm. We ended up going to that like right before we left, so it was like 7:30, 8:00, something like that. And so we're starting to watch this thing, and it's set up kind of like a Rocky Horror, where these young kids are walking through the forest, and they start singing these songs, and I'm like, man, this first, the heroine chick starts singing, and she's bad. I mean, just not good at singing at all. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be rough. If this is your lead female vocal and she's this bad, it's going to be a long show, even if it's like half an hour. It was like 45 minutes, maybe an hour. At least it felt like it. Fortunately, she was one of the worst singers, like, period. Once they brought the female monsters out, they were actually pretty good. They were doing pop songs with monster themes to them. All that was pretty decent. The guy that did the Frankenstein monster, he was good, and he had some really good dance moves.
Well, I mean, he's built to dance.
Yeah.
Well, like, he's a dance monster.
He is. That's
basically what he is.
He's a dance machine. Charged by lightning.
I don't know. This movie was just something.
Kind of got the feeling that the lead actor, the female,
Lake Bell,
I think she wrote, maybe directed this also. And it kind of felt like that. Like, it was this thing she wanted to do, this story she wanted to tell, and she did. She told that story. I don't know. Like, the whole idea of, like, I like the idea of there being this competitive world of voiceover artists. Like, that premise amused me, just in general.
Yep. That's why I think why we watched the movie. Like,
yeah, like,
it's a funny premise.
It is. Like, well, and then, you know, and I didn't realize that, all right, so the idea is that the guy who's famous for In a World died.
I didn't know that guy died either.
And they are trying to find the next person who will do that. And they're trying to find the next vehicle for In a World being worth being brought back. Like it's this trope that they're waiting for the right to,
yeah,
pull,
like,
the trigger on bringing it back.
We're bringing it back.
And the right voice to bring it back.
It's not very impressive. All it is like the pentatonic minor scale, but it actually sounds like it could be something. Like, if you just don't play it in order. But like, if you don't,
like,
play,
when you're
order,
at the high end of that, it almost sounds like Ren Fairy.
He explained it to me in that, like, it's one of the oldest scales. Like, if you listen to it, it's like the major scale, only it's just missing notes. It's like, it has a very Asian feel to it.
I get that.
And I was like, yeah,
I hear that.
I eat a lot of sushi. I hear this a lot in the sushi restaurant.
Sure, yeah. I get drunk on sake listening to that.
He's like, when dude's solo, basically, they use this as a fill between when they do stuff, because it's so basic that you can just slot it in anywhere. That's not the right note.
When we were doing our Kurosawa movies, we could have recorded that, and that would have been a good intro.
That would have been an intro.
Kurosawa series. And so, like, Lake Bell kept reminding me of someone. I couldn't place it.
I don't know who either, but, like it's this person I know that I've spent time with.
Yeah, she's, like, a cross between a semi-famous person and somebody, like, I've hung out with.
I wonder if she's related to somebody. I'm sure she's related to somebody.
Probably a Horton.
Probably a Horton. Who isn't related to a Horton?
Francis would bang her.
Francis.
Yeah, so... I mean, I'm glad we're doing this movie as a guitar cast, because... We need to fill time talking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's just not.
It was just. It was like okay, but like nothing. Like nothing happened.
Like it's been a lot of time working on a couple of different things that mostly kind of resolved in a relatively non-confrontational way. Like, the most drama involved Rob Corddry and his wife.
But, like, that didn't really seem to go anywhere either.
No, and it... Was I not paying attention, or did they just kind of make up?
Yeah, they made up.
Out of nowhere. Like, they just kind of made up, and everything was fine. Yeah, she slept with or didn't sleep with that dude.
I think he just put the tip in, Tony.
That's right, yeah. No, it was more. I remember that now. Yeah, she did talk about the tip going. Completely new. Copyrighted. Yeah, I mean, there was so many little ideas that just kind of got smooshed together.
Yeah, it was like, let's throw together a whole ton of tropes. Like, I sleep with a guy, and he knows my dad, but like, they don't know they're talking about the same person.
Right.
And then,
I'm collecting voices, but not in a creepy way.
Yeah, but that also didn't seem to go anywhere either.
Right.
Like, that never came up after the first 10 minutes.
Except that was the whole setup for her, for the friend sleeping with...
The sister sleeping with that dude.
Yeah, the sister sleeping with that other guy. Like, that was the whole reason for that. But there was no payoff of having that voice collected.
Oh, wait, she collects the guy's voice.
Right.
No. She records her sister and then sends it to the dude, to Rob Corddry.
No. The sister records it and leaves it in her jacket.
No. I mean, at the Mako. She records her sister talking about how much she misses him.
Oh.
And then she sends it to him.
I missed that. I must have not paid attention.
You checked out because the movie's not coming.
There was not much to be impressed with by this movie. It's okay. I mean, it's not terrible. If there's nothing else on and you've got a serious case of insomnia and it's 4 a.m.
There's a lot of old man nipple.
Maybe you're a little drunk. Maybe it's okay then.
There's a lot of old man nipple.
Yeah.
Like, they spend a lot of time in that sauna.
They do. And the guy that played, what was his name, Warner?
Yeah.
He's been in a couple of TV comedies, and he always plays this fast-talking guy. Like, that's his character that he always plays. And it kind of bugs me a little bit. Like, the character that he always plays. So now I look at that guy and just think of him that way. So he just kind of annoys me just a little bit. I'm like,
really?
He's in that new show, Marry Me. There's a new sitcom called Marry Me. And he and the chick from one of the chicks from Happy Endings, which is actually pretty decent. Happy Endings is actually a pretty decent show.
Was that? There was like one
with
show.
Damon Wayans Jr.
No,
and
this is not what I was thinking it was. There was one show with Olivia Munn.
No, that was a different show.
That was
I know which
Perfect
show
you, Couples.
Yes.
That show was good.
That show was pretty good.
Then it was canceled.
Yep.
For I don't know why.
Because nobody watched it. I think you and me and Julie were like, of the six people that watched it, we were half of them.
Yeah, probably. The other half were three of the cast members.
Probably. But there were six cast members, so... Come on, guys, you're not pulling your weight. Yeah, it's, by the way, don't waste time on Marry Me. It's not great.
I'm not going to. Isn't Marry Me the one with, Say goodbye to these, Michael Bluth. You hear that? Michael Bluth is threatening me, Kitty.
No.
Damn it.
No, she's not in there.
She's on some show.
Yeah, the whole weird relationship with that, that I guess was the whole point of the movie, considering when that story resolved, that's when the movie was over.
Was that the whole point of the movie?
I don't know.
Maybe
I don't know.
I think kind of the whole point of the movie was the entire scene with the chick who was the director of the series.
Yeah.
Yeah, we only picked you because you're a woman.
The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
The Amazon Games.
Yeah.
It's a quadrilogy.
Pretty much everything to do with that was really funny. Yeah. Like, when they showed the whole trailer.
The whole parody of Hunger Games was pretty good. That was probably the best part of the movie.
I kind of wish we could watch that.
Yeah. In a world... See, I even remember when this movie came out, I remember hearing about it and seeing a trailer for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just because the, you know, the trope of in a world was such a thing for a while. Like, for a while, and I know you didn't, but for like 6 months, whenever there's a new podcast promo for a podcast audiobook, like... 7 out of 8 of them used in a world. It's like, oh my god, shut up.
That's what all the cool people are doing, Tony.
I know. Maybe that's why we don't have anybody listening to the podcast anymore. We didn't do that.
It's probably Guitar Casts.
Guitar Casts. Guitar Casts are keeping them around. They're just waiting for the next one.
Yeah, now they're just starving. Yeah. Starving to lack of Guitar Casts.
Oh, there's people that comb the internet looking for signs of when Daryl's not going to be on the podcast, so they can wait with bated breath for Monday when the episode drops that it's a guitar cast.
Coincidentally, he's in Kansas City, so like I'm sure Jamal Charles is taking time out of his busy like running back Chiefs schedule. Oh, finally, there's a guitar cast. That's why Daryl's still there.
Yeah.
Jamal he's Charles waiting. Ran him back.
You need to stay another week. They didn't do a guitar cast last week.
Nick Offerman without his mustache looked bizarre.
That was weird. I had to spoil that for you in our hangout. Because I was watching the movie and I was like, man, this movie's really disturbing to me because it's unnatural to see Nick Offerman without a mustache. Like, at all.
Yeah, it was like a half beard thing.
It was like trying to do a sad Don Johnson thing from Miami Vice.
Yeah, I wasn't okay. Well, like, he was on there. I was like, whoa, what's going on with that? And she's like, who is that?
It took me a second. It honestly took me a second. I was like,
oh, he was wearing that weird hat.
Oh, that's. What's he doing? Right?
What is it?
Well, here's a game we should play. We should play a song, and I'll see if Google, what's this song?
How did that not pick up that was Fell in Love with a Girl? I did not know that. Thank you. Chili Peppers for you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm not playing Flea right now.
I had more stories to tell. Won an award today.
What's that?
Won an award today.
For what?
Project of the year for some thing we developed.
Sweet. It's
kind of exciting, but doesn't really affect me much.
So now, like, Hookers and Blow Friday?
My job's not ready, Hookers and Blow Friday.
So, not Hookers and Blow Thursday and Friday this week.
This may come as a surprise to you, but I did not win Mega Millions last night.
It is not a surprise because you're sitting across from me.
That's still count.
Would you?
Yeah.
The night after?
Yeah. I wouldn't even have claimed the ticket by now.
Well, that's true.
I was trying to tell you.
You need an attorney. You need to get an accountant.
You need to get a lawyer. And an accountant before you do anything. And then you also have to work out what you're going to do with the money.
Yeah.
Like, you have to do that before you claim it. I was trying to explain this to Melina. I was like, you need to have this worked out beforehand. Like, you need to claim it with people if you're going to give them money so you can get taxed twice.
Yep. Yeah, that you need to get that shit all taken care of. This may not come as a surprise to you. I didn't play.
That does not come as a surprise to me. You're just not as invested in Nerdvana as I am.
I have a feeling that money would get earmarked for other things. Were I to win it.
This is why I was telling Lane I have to win the money. Like, I'm that control freak. Like, if I wasn't completely involved with Nirvana from, like, the ground up, I would be instantly suspicious of it.
Yeah.
Like, I know exactly what my motivations are. And I know exactly why I want Nirvana. It's because I hate the real world. But I feel like other people would corrupt it. Like, they wouldn't have the... I don't want to say racial purity, because... That is a connotation I do not want to have, but like nerd purity.
The social construct of standards and purity.
Like, Master Race also comes to mind, but again, see, this is what Hitler did to me.
Wait, what?
Yeah. He made it so all of my good ideas sound really mass murdery.
So, like, what would be some of the tenets of your nerd mode? Like, what kind of social structure would it have?
Oh, no, it would be like this entire socialist hippie commune. It would be the worst thing ever. Like, no one would have to work. Like, you wouldn't have to pay for food or housing. But if you did work, I'd take 10% of your income.
That's fair.
And then just throw it back into the pot. But you wouldn't have to work. If you didn't work, you would lose 10% of your income. But that would be really boring. But, so you know what amazes me?
You'd almost want to set up, like, a communal copyright system. So, like, anything you work on as a community. So, like, you got some game developers that want to put together a game. All right, cool. Do that. It belongs to the community.
Yeah, be careful with that, though.
Yeah. But if you have everyone on board as a socialist hippie communal structure, then what's to be careful about? I mean, you're also proposing a world where... In a world where people would actually go along for something like this, where their parents would be like, are you sure that's not just a bunch of rapers?
Are you sure that's not a cult?
This sounds like a cult of rapers.
But here's the thing. Like, you wouldn't...
You're going to end up murdered.
The idea isn't that you're attracting these new people. Like, the idea is to take the existing people. Basically, it is the true white-collar realization of Holden Caulfield's dream. That's really what it is. And really, I blame Romeo. This is Romeo's fault.
He is an entitled bastard.
He is an entitled bastard. He's the worst. But, like, I don't know, like, this is going to sound really horrible, but, like, I'm not really sure how I made it to 31 before I actually had to do anything difficult in my life. Like, before Romeo, I had a very laissez-faire attitude towards life. But now, like, Romeo is the only obstacle in my life that I feel is out of my hands and control. Like, I cannot, no matter how much I work, or how much money I spend on it, or how much fish I prepare, like, I'm fighting
so
a loose.
Fish.
I'm fighting
There's
a loose.
So much fish.
Oh my god, I bought another $150 worth of fish. Jeez. That's 10 pounds of fish.
So when are you going to just start opening, when are you going to turn the pool into a hatchery? Is what I'm curious about.
I don't think it'll work, because like, there's a specific brand of fish, and it's Alaskan. You might have to move.
So, Nerdvana is going to have to exist in Alaska.
Alaska's nice.
Can be.
But cold. It's nice sometimes.
Large plots of land probably can be picked up pretty cheap.
My brother lived there for a time after he came back from the war. And he's like, so, do you know what passive frostbite is?
No.
He's like, so it gets so cold in Alaska that, like, if you touch something outside, you get you instantly get frostbite from it. What? He's like, yeah, so you always have to wear gloves. Like, no matter what you're touching, you have to be wearing gloves.
Jesus.
He's like, my wife went outside once to get a vacuum cleaner out of the car, and, like, she didn't take her gloves, and she touched the vacuum cleaner, and now her hand is all messed up. What?
Jesus.
Yeah, it's rough. Romeo's the reason I don't go to social media anymore. It's like too much.
I've dropped out of a lot of what I used to do.
Oh my god, I can't care about this. Like, the reason I don't vote, like, I feel totally disconnected from the real world. Like, it's just, it has nothing that interests me.
I voted yesterday, and for the first time in a long time, I felt like a vote that actually mattered in the state that I live in, because it wasn't just a foregone conclusion of everything. I mean, regardless of which side of the political issues you're on, Illinois is a blue state, period. And yesterday, it wasn't. And that was weird.
Yeah, like, that is weird.
Like, that's really strange. Like, I can't stand the old governor, but it's weird that there's going to be a new one that's not a Democrat. It's like,
oh, is it not?
No. No, we're having a Republican governor, which is very strange for the state.
Well, that's because Chicago's bankrupt.
Yeah. They couldn't afford to pay people to vote. Get the highest voter turnout. We got like 80% in CNN in Washington because all the stoners can, I guess they can all vote like by mail. You don't have to actually go anywhere to vote.
Oh, so the voter restriction laws haven't taken hold there?
Yeah. I was like, well, yeah, in Illinois we have 123% voters. Chicago, vote early, vote often. See, Illinois doesn't need term limits for its governors for the most part, because most of them just end up in jail.
What a problem voting for the lesser of two evils. It doesn't seem like... Like, there's only one person I agree with 100%, and I'm not running because...
Yeah.
Actually, there's a strong financial reason to run, but I would not get elected because... What do you think about this issue? I don't care about it.
Right.
This is not my problem.
It's not a real issue. It's something you're making up. Or that issue belongs to the federal government, not to the state, so why are we bothering with it? Or that issue belongs to the state, not the federal government. That's my opinion. They need to get out of it and let us deal with it.
I don't know. Politics is the worst. Thank you.
can tell I haven't played in a while. My fingers are already feeling bruised.
Yeah, my fingers stopped hurting. Now they're just dead like the rest of me. Shows. We're actually current on Gotham.
Yeah.
What despite do you think? My protests.
You don't like it?
It's alright. But it's like too. Everyone is real like jizzing about how awesome Jada Pinkett Smith is in it. I don't know why she's in the show. Like, that character is stupid.
It's the one character that is not anywhere else in Batman's continuity.
Like, I understand they needed somebody there, but like
they needed somebody that was they needed a character that you didn't have any connection to from anywhere else, so you didn't know where they were going to go. So I heard one fan rumor going around, like fan speculation, that the Penguin story and the character that is the Penguin in this will not be the Penguin, but will be the Joker. Like
that works.
The path that that character is going on actually lends itself more to being the Joker instead of the Penguin.
Because so far, that guy's story is the best thing that show's going.
He's interesting.
Yeah.
He is the wild card that show needs.
Yeah.
Like, Jim Gordon, you are under arrest for killing
Oswald
Cobblepot. Oh, hey, I'm here.
That was glorious.
Whoa, that was really good.
Well, hold on. That and Bullock.
Bullock
is so good. Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, Bullock. Donald Logue and Bullock, as playing Bullock, was perfect casting. He's really good.
He is really good. I wasn't sold in the beginning. Like, oh, this guy again. And then I was sold.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really good. The guy playing Penguin's good. I like the Alfred character. There's some people that complain about it, but I actually like what they're doing with Alfred. I like young Bruce as being like half a step away from putting on a trench coat and shooting up a school.
I kind of like that too.
That kid is that close to Columbining out of Gotham School. I mean, he is.
You see the previous for next week? Alfred, can you teach me to fight? And like, Alfred has this look in his face like he's waited for this question for 20 years. Yes! Yes, I can! Yeah, I bet you can, Alfred.
I like how they're taking this relatively unknown period of time in Bruce Wayne's life, and they're saying, yeah, you know what, he didn't grow up and then want to be Batman. He wanted that shit from, like, the day after his parents died. Because it makes a lot more sense that he became that intense about it. And that studied in, like, detective techniques and stuff like that. Like, when you have the drive and the time of youth.
To get good at something?
Yeah. Jesus. Because, like, that's when kids get really good at sports or playing musical instruments or whatever. And he got really good at being Batman.
Yeah, and he's, like, you can tell he's ready for it, too. He's ready to murder.
Where Constantine's going, the actor needs to get a little more used to that character, but I kind of like where it's going.
There's something wrong about Constantine. I don't know what it is.
He needs to be a little more more voice work for the Ideology of Madness guys.
Yeah.
They do that Knights of Rains actual play. Well, every once in a while they record little snippets before to kind of give a little bit of flavor to the audio. So for, it's like their third season of doing it, something like that. So for the first couple, they've had a recurring character that shows up doing like a shock jock morning DJ thing. Coslo and the Geek, and I'm Coslo. I do the voice of Coslo. Well, this season, at the end of the second season, they did this big reset of the world where one of the characters, one of the bad guys, took over a time machine, went back 500 years, and basically kicked Columbus out of the New World and organized the tribes of the Native Americans, and there's no United States, the United Tribes. So like there's this whole Native American world now where the United States used to be, and all the characters that were in Rainsboro ended up as different characters, like the same people, but in some cases their powers are different, or the characters took different paths or whatever, and they're trying to they're slowly getting the information that this world isn't right and it needs to be fixed. So Aaron was like, yeah, I'm gonna have you do a bit for this. It's like, hey, I got this idea. Since you remade this whole world anyway, what if Coslo's like an NPR like talk show host? Instead of a shock jock, he's like, yeah, let's go with that. So
Rainbow Free Earth.
Yeah. So I recorded that. That should be coming out pretty soon. He says he's got another one for me. I haven't seen what that one's gonna be yet. I don't wanna get back to Risk Legacy too.
Risk Legacy is the game of my life.
You could have properties that have to be built. I mean, if you want to do it in the context of having properties, property has to be purchased and built. You have whole sections of the board that are blocked off.
They all start around the same amount of money.
Yeah.
They only become worth more as you move them.
Or as certain goals get in there. First time a hotel hits the board, something happens. You could do some fun unlockable stuff with a game like that. You'd have to get people to be willing to commit to multiple games of Monopoly. Then again, you're getting people to commit to multiple games of Risk. And really, when you play the first couple of games of Risk Legacy, you're not playing full games of Risk. Even when you're in the mid games, you really don't. You have win conditions, you don't have to.
Yeah, it really shortens the game.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You could create a different set of victory point conditions. And then ultimately, I mean, ideally you'd make it such that the last game is Monopoly, you have to take it. create a situation where, yeah, you get, you've won multiple games, but if you don't win the last game, you don't have a monopoly.
You have to have that, like,
you'd have to have bonuses, but not have it be so one-sided that it has to be worth it to keep playing.
Nukes are good.
Nukes are pretty good.
First time you win that first game, you lose a victory point, but you get the nuke. You're like, eh. I mean, the idea is that everyone's going to win. Like, it makes it easier for everybody to get at least that first win.
That's why I'm amazed I've won as many as I have.
Yeah, I know why you've won as many as you have. It's Eric. Eric, you need to do something about Tony. Nah, I can't.
I'm going
to
go for the win.
I'm going to go for the win on this ridiculous long shot.
And it's going to be even worse now that I have
million more suits.
Something like that. It's
drafting helps it.
Drafting does help. What's going to be interesting now is that I've got a major city in North America. In Mutenberg.
Mutenberg.
Lessons now. Holden's like, oh, we can practice together. Yeah, except you do it every day. you have a dedicated hour-long class every day.
Does he really?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, he's got a it's one of his classes. He's got band class. And like,
jealous.
Part of his, yeah, no kid. Part of his grade is that he has to turn in a practice sheet every week that shows that he's practiced 4 times for at least 15 minutes over the course of a week. So Monday through Thursday, he's home for like an hour. Well, he's home for 3 hours by himself after school. So it's like, hey, get your homework done, make sure you practice every day. So like, he gets that credit for all his practices because he practices an extra hour every week. They had their first concert night before last. Sounding pretty good. It's he was in the 5th grade band last year and the 6th grade, and they're like, the groupings are the 5th grader considered the beginners. Then there's 6th grade bands. Then 7th and 8th grade is when they merge the grades into one band. And the songs get just a little more complicated in 6th grade. The biggest difference is they go from playing like 45 seconds of music to like 3 minutes at the concert. And like 2 pieces.
Oh.
Yeah. 2 different pieces.
You guys should start a duo. Bass.
Bass and trumpet. We would be really bass. Because the trumpet does the same scale as the bass, I think.
I thought about getting a saxophone.
Really?
And Melina's like, what would you do with that?
Play it?
I would blow into it and then noise would come out of it.
Annoy the cats.
And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, well, I mean, it's not like you know how to play it. I'm like, well, I know, but I would just figure it out. Like, she's like, well, you know, like, the horns and the strings are different.
Clearly?
But music isn't different. Like, what?
Hey, look.
What are we talking
since
about?
Clarence Clemens died, there's been a serious gap in the music world of amazing saxophonists. Somebody's got
to
fill it.
You just don't want me to become sexy sax, man.
Sexy man. I only know like three of them. And I don't know much of them anymore.
To me, taught me how to play A like this to begin with, and he's like, oh yeah, nobody does that, and they'll do this. Ugh, what are you doing to me? You know how hard it is for me to unlearn something? I spent like a million years unlearning the L in both. And so now when I say both, like, it's like, you know when you try and say something and then like,
you second guessed, did I really say that right?
When you're saying something, you're like, oh man, I shouldn't say that. Then it comes out like louder. That's what it sounds like now. It's like, just take both of them out.
Yeah, I was talking to, had to do a parent-teacher conference the other day. And like, what's really fun is, so like first through fifth grade, the first parent-teacher conference of the year, everybody has to go. And then you get a note later that's like, yeah, you don't need to attend another one if your kid's doing well. We've always had to go to the first one. Never had to go to another one. Sixth grade, you only have to go if you get a note from the teacher saying, could you please come in so we can talk? Well, we didn't get one for Holden, so I had to go in for Aaron. They actually invited her to talk to the speech therapist at high school because she has this little, it's like almost a lisp, and it's with CH sounds. And it's really hard to recreate, but it's like chest. She kind of makes that sound. And the way you can tell the difference is most people, when they say the CH sound or the T sound, they're pushing air out through their mouth. She doesn't. It's like all that air stays in her mouth, so it's like chest. So it all just kind of sits there. So we were talking. I talked to the teacher, and it's like, yeah, everything's going great. She's got straight A's. So it's not like we need to talk about anything. Yeah, this is going to be the exact same thing it's always been for Holden. Very bright, very social, probably a little too social. Cut down a little bit on the chatter. Yeah, go figure. But I was like, yeah, I kind of want to talk to the speech therapist because, like, she's very bright. She's at the top of her reading level. The kid does math workbook problems where other, like, she has coloring books and math workbooks. Like, she does those for fun. But the speech thing, she doesn't even realize she's doing it.
Right.
So she's learning that she needs to fix it. So, but like we get this homework, it's like, say these words, chair, chocolate. Okay, but she's just saying them the way she always says them. I don't know. How are we supposed to fix this? So I used you as an object lesson, you and your both. It's like, yeah, it's better to get this fixed when you're 7 than when you're like in your 30s trying to get this fixed.
Yeah, it's just a nightmare. And like, so what I ultimately ended up doing was every time I said it wrong and I would hear myself say it wrong, I would stop and then say it again.
Well, I'm sure that came through on many recordings. I know it did. I know it did. I remember sitting here as you worked your way through it a few times.
It was the worst. It's like,
this. Because you would say both. like the best part didn't even come through in the audio because it was the look on your face. It was just like, ugh.
Now it's just like super exaggerated because it's like it's just
both.
Like, it's like it's embarrassing. It's like, why am I speaking like third grade or something? That's interesting. I didn't notice that she. I might talk to her. I have long conversations with her.
Yeah, and it's pretty subtle, but like she's very articulate. She's very bright, and like the speech teacher said, look, she's very bright. She's very articulate. You don't want someone hearing that as the first thing and making assumptions about her just based on that. Kind of like how with like certain accents, people make assumptions about their people's intelligence because they have like a southern accent or whatever. So yeah, we're trying to get that shit locked down now.
That's, I don't know, like I only have...
So and really, if that's the worst of her problems...
Yeah. Yeah. Sold.
Yeah. We're pretty lucky that, like, both of these kids are really diligent about doing their own homework. And, like, kids...
Oh, I was not that kid.
No, I was not either. Apparently, Julie was. So, like, they got that from her. Good.
About homework. Screaming match. It's like, I don't want to do this. This is so dumb. It's like, I don't know. When I learn something, I either immediately get it and don't need to repeat it, or I don't get it and I don't want to learn it.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a lot of that problem with both of them. And
this is dumb. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Well, you have to. But I don't want to. Like, I don't want to do this. This is stupid. I don't want to write a paper on this subject. This is dumb.
Yeah, like, I had that problem, but I didn't have somebody just stepping down on my throat saying, do it.
Yeah.
Look, my parents going to get a B in the class anyway. Are you going to really complain about this?
Yeah, my poor parents.
Yes. I was trouble.
Like, I can't... Like, I'm exhausted thinking about the amount of energy it took to fight me to do my homework. Like, that just exhausts me. Like, my now poor, it's like, oh,
my God. Poor geometry teacher in high school. He would roll. I get so many eye rolls from him. Hey, Tony, where's your homework? I didn't do it. What? Well, your rules state that if we don't do our homework twice, we don't get a bonus. I already didn't do my homework once. Well, why didn't you do your homework?
I got a free.
Quarter ends next week. And I had a hockey game I wanted to watch last night. So I decided not to do the homework. So what you're telling me is you just didn't do it at all. Yup. That was the first quarter. The second quarter, I got 102% for the class. I think it was like 98% that quarter. It was ridiculous.
So little of it was interesting.
Well, my problem was is I had transferred schools. I was on track where I was. I was on track to, in the second year, be in advanced placement math. So, but at O'Fallon, you entered the advanced placement track from freshman year. You didn't start in sophomore year, which where it was before. So, like, I couldn't get into the advanced placement track.
Oh.
Yeah. So, it was like I was out already as a sophomore. It's like, oh, that really sucks. So, I had to basically just glide through geometry. It was bad. It was so bad. That was awesome.
I'm not really sure what I would have done if I was in, like, normal math in high school. Like, it would have been intolerable.
Yeah, it was.
But, like, they placed me normal math my freshman year, and then sophomore year I tested out of it, and I got put in the honors track. And then, like, so sophomore and junior year were fine, but then, like, we got to some weird stuff in calculus. Like, I'm very certain at that level of math, like, I should not have passed the class. Like, I'm very certain most people in the class should not have passed.
Mm.
But somehow everybody did. And I'm fairly certain some wizardry happened with the numbers. And I'm not so with the numbers.
Yeah.
We were doing calculus. Like,
right. Right.
At that point, it's kind of hard to pull the wool over my eyes. Like, we're not exactly rotating this around the axis and then finding the value of this object that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I got to college and did the calc track, because basically the way it worked up, I did end up in advanced, I think it was advanced algebra 2 and advanced trig, but I was like, where I was a junior and senior doing those, I was with sophomores and juniors, because the seniors who were in the advanced track did calc, and I just they wouldn't let me catch up to that. So my first calc class was in college, so I took the whole calc sequence 1, 2, 3. And because of where I took it at BAC, which when it was still BAC, now it's SWIC. So I took it there, and because of, like, taking it, there was it's a pretty small advanced math group. So, like, we all had the classes together, like, from Calc 1 through differential equations. It was, like, of the 30 people that entered the class, 20 of them finished it through. Went through in the exact same classes together. And I was really fortunate because when I was doing Calc 3, I was helping my mom with algebra. Because she started going back to school, and she's like, I hate algebra, I hate math, just need to get through this. Well, I was tutoring her and helping her through it, and, like, I was a real dick. It's like, all right, you got a test tonight, you need to finish your homework. Just tell me what the answer is. No, you need to learn it. She cursed me upside one side down the other, but she got through the class and she passed. But it really helped. it really helped because differential equations, like you take all the theoretical stuff
away and it's just...
And then you start applying real numbers to it. Like, no lie, we had like a third of the people in class miss an answer because they all wrote 5. The answer was 6 because the last part of the equation was 2 times 3. Like, once you did all the... Everything else, it was 2 times 3 and like a third of the class put 5. Because you're working at such a high level that
just
the rest of that bullshit just falls away and it's like you just forget. It was bad. I actually got better as I went though. I barely passed
Calc. Intention to me.
I barely passed Calc 1, but like got progressively better like in Calc 2, Calc 3. Like I aced Divi Q. And, like, other people were dying through it.
I had no problem with Divi Q. Like, everybody talked about how it was going to be really complicated, and I was like, this is just algebra.
Yeah, it's applying algebra on top of the calculus we've learned.
Yeah, that other hard stuff is the hard stuff in this, like, just...
It's like putting a layer of answer on top of it. Yeah. Oh, now I get why we're doing all this. I mean, that was the...
Oh, there's a point to this.
Right.
I feel different now. Now I understand that there's a lot of point to it.
Yeah. I'm not a stupid 18, 19-year-old anymore, though, too.
Yeah. Like, the people are like, well, I never use algebra in my daily life. That is a lie.
That's bullshit.
If you interact with numbers in the real world, you are using algebra.
Have you ever given a tip at a restaurant?
Yeah,
guess what you used?
They said I'd use this the rest of my life. They didn't lie to you. You're currently using it. Somehow you're using it right now. Just don't know.
And people get so intimidated when they look at a word problem. I had a buddy who was... like stayed drunk most of the time. He's like, man, I have to take like math 070 or something like that just to get into other classes that he needed to get to. He had to take like the remedial math. So I was helping him with it. He's like, man, I don't understand. How can you add an X with a number? It doesn't make any sense. Why are you multiplying with X's? He's like, Dave, you understand what a six-pack is, right? Yeah. It's like, all right, so if you have 5 six-packs, how many beers do you have? Okay. How many cases do you have? Well, you have a case and you also have a 6. How do you know that? Because there's 24 and there's 6. What? It's like, and if X is a case of beer and you have 4 cases of beer, 4x, how many beers do you have? 96. I mean, he's just like spitting this out. It's like, how do you not know this? You know this. You're just not thinking of it. Just think of it all in ounces of vodka or in 6 packs of beer. You're gonna be fine.
Yeah.
And turns out he ended up getting a C in the class. So,
this is passing.
It is.
It's the goal.
Yeah, we got a hold of your report card, and in social studies, he had a test that he flubbed like midway through the term, and it dipped like 2 points into the B range. So it's like you're gonna get a B. That's fine. Just don't get below a B. Just keep maintaining. Keep pushing toward the A's. You're probably not going to get an A, but you're not. Getting a B, getting one B is not bad.
It's the end of the world.
We get the grades back. You get an A. It's like, what happened? Well, what's cool now is you go out online and you see every grade they have. Shows you the percentage that they got. Like, broken down. These were the scores he got in tests versus quizzes versus homework assignments. Their grading scale is the 6-point scale, so 94 to 100 is an A.
What?
Yeah, 94 to it's an A. 88 to 94 is a B.
That's actually more stringent than I'm used to. Mine's 93 to 7 point.
Yeah. For a couple... What was it? For high school, I think we had a 10-point scale.
Yeah. We hated you punk kids.
But
that was too much.
That was too much. It's ridiculous. It is
the
ridiculous.
7 point, I think, was probably too much, too.
But, yeah, so he got a 93.61. It's like, buddy, math. Math saved your social studies because they rounded that shit. Catchy tune.
It is a catchy tune. It's really easy to play too.
All right, so next week maybe Gone Girl, or we'll figure something out.
Let's see if Daryl's seen it.
See if Daryl's back from Kansas City.
Yeah, he's been gone a long time. 2 weeks is too long to be.
2 weeks is a lot.
Kansas City sucks. There's only one thing good thing in Kansas City right now. It's Phil.
Phil's in Kansas City.
Where his base is.
Oh.
I thought he'd go back here. Because he's like, I'm coming home. I didn't
He meant stateside.
Yeah, I didn't realize he meant the United States and not St. Louis. I was like, hey, you want to come to band practice today? And he's like, oh, it's a bit of a drive. I can't leave if I'm going to go that far away from the base. Oh. Didn't know that was a thing.